Remember, God can resurrect anything, and He created everything out of absolutely nothing. Only God has the authority and power to trivialize death.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The topic of this episode is the Book of John, chapter 11.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
We're in the book of John, chapter 11, and we're going to see how God's timing is never too late as He heals His loving friend, Lazarus. We're also going to see in this section of the book of John how Jesus' ministry takes a pivotal turning point. Let's begin now in the book of John, chapter 11, starting with verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not to death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he stayed 2 days still in the same place where he was. So here we see Jesus being informed about Lazarus' condition and how it's very important that he go to him in order to heal him, or so the people think. But what they don't realize is that God is fully aware of the situation and that there is a backup plan already in the works. Notice how the scripture says that Lazarus was someone whom Jesus loved. Of course, Jesus loves all of us. But what this is saying is that Jesus, God in the flesh, was a very good friend of Lazarus. Lazarus was especially close to Jesus as a personal friend. They didn't even have to mention Lazarus' name. That's how close of a friendship that Jesus and Lazarus had. Yet, upon hearing this, Jesus still did not come right away. Sometimes, in our own walk with God, we tend to believe that God has to answer us right away, and if He doesn't, it's going to be too late for anything to be done. But we learn a very valuable lesson here, and that is, it's never too late for God. God's power shines the brightest when He is given the opportunity to take something that is completely dead and forgotten and resurrect it, as we will see Him do with Lazarus in the coming scriptures. Verse 7, Then after that said He to His disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say to Him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone you, and you go there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, but he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said to them, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. So Jesus is wanting to return back to Judea to take care of Lazarus. Yet his disciples, knowing how the Jews feel about him in that area, they don't want him to go, and they can't see the logic as to why he needs to go into a place where people are wanting to kill him. And Jesus is telling them that the daylight, which is his ministry on earth, is still available. And while it's available, there's work to be done, but that there's going to be a night coming. The night is going to be the crucifixion of Jesus. And that night is going to be the time when the disciples themselves are going to find themselves without Jesus. So basically what Jesus is saying about the night and the day is that time is growing short and that many things still have to take place in order for Jesus to fulfill his ministry while he's still here amongst us in the flesh. Then Jesus tells his disciples that Lazarus is sleeping, and they get confused and they think that Lazarus is just resting, and they think that's a good thing. Somebody's sleeping, they're going to get better. But the fact is that God, in his infinite power, he sees death as nothing more than sleep. Remember, God can resurrect anything, and he created everything out of absolutely nothing. So God can easily say that a person who is dead is merely asleep. Only God has the authority and power to trivialize death. Verse 16, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was near to Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. So Thomas is thinking that when they go back to Judea, there's going to be a lot of trouble with the Jews, and everyone's going to end up dying. And his faith has grown such to the point to where he is willing to die with Jesus. Yet he still hasn't grasped the concept that Jesus is God, and that if Jesus deems it worthy to go back to Judea, that the protection of God would be on them. So he's missing some of this. So they've been with Jesus for a while at this point, but they still haven't grasped the point that Jesus is on a mission, and that until that mission is completed, Jesus' time will not come. Also in this section, it points out that Lazarus had been laying in the tomb for over 4 days. Now, when someone's laying in a tomb for 4 days, and they have a rock rolled in front of the cave where they lay, you know that that person is dead. Verse 19, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatever you will ask of God, God will give it you. Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believe you this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calls for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. So Martha, knowing that Jesus is on his way, she meets him the rest of the way, and she says to him, if he'd only been there, her brother would have been alive still. Now, this is what I call putting God in a box. Martha thinks that a certain physical condition had to be met in order to keep her brother from dying. Now, we know from reading the Gospels that Jesus only has to say the word, and no matter where he's at, the person is healed, because God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. But Martha was thinking in physical terms, and she was believing that if Jesus had been there, her brother would have lived. But let's give her some credit, because she says, even now, God will give you whatever you ask. So she still has her faith. And Jesus reminds her that he is the resurrection, that he is the life, and that anyone who believes in him, though they were dead, they shall live. And he asks her, do you believe this? Now understand, that God doesn't want anything but your faith. He wants your belief. You don't have to pull tricks. You don't have to be perfect, because nobody is ever going to be perfect except for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He just wants you to believe in Him. See, Jesus has taken all the work out of building a relationship with God, and He has laid it all on the cross. All of the bad things each and every one of us has ever done is a forgotten thing of the past. God remembers them no more. As soon as we lay them at the feet of Jesus Christ and His work that He did on the cross, Jesus was our sacrifice. And if we believe in Him, then that is true faith that achieves the unachievable. And that's why He asks her, believe you this. What is it that you're believing God for? What is it that you believe about yourself that is holding your faith back? Because it's not what you believe about yourself that moves God. It's what you believe about His Son, Jesus Christ. When you get it into your heart that Jesus died for your sins, you can begin to have a brand new relationship with God. You begin a whole new chapter with God. Your sins are erased. You have an open door to approach God, and you can actually fellowship with God, the God of the universe, the God of all, through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it all starts with belief. And there's different levels of belief. I am by no means at the level of belief today as I was even a year ago. And some days, I'm a little low on my belief. Not that I ever believe that Jesus didn't die for my sins, no. But sometimes, Jesus, as in this case, has to come to you and hold your faith, as He does here when He reminds Martha that He is the resurrection, that He is the life. He encourages her before He asks her, do you believe? You know, God is ready to encourage you today. If you're feeling weak in your faith, in your belief, God will encourage you. Just ask Him, come to Him like Martha did. Tell Him your problems. Martha had a little bit of faith. Part of her faith was wrong because she said that had He been there, her brother wouldn't have died. Well, that's not the right kind of faith. But then she went off and she said, yet still, you could do something. And that was the right kind of faith. God can take your faith and build it up for you even when you can't, as Jesus is doing right here for Martha. Verse 30, now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met Him. The Jews then, which were in her house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goes to the grave to weep there. In Jesus' day, there was actually a thing called professional mourners. There were people that would be around you to comfort you, yet they would also mourn for you. There was times when a person couldn't, they would cry themselves out, but yet these people would wail and cry and moan and groan for the loss that you were suffering. And it was more like a ritual than anything else. Well, these people that were in her house, that were there to comfort her and to mourn with her, they saw that she got up and they assumed that she was running to her brother's grave to grieve some more. And so they wanted to go with her. Verse 32, then when Mary had come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying to Him, Lord, if You had been here, my brother had not died. Now, this sounds just like Martha. So we can conclude that the two of them, Martha and Mary, had been discussing this amongst themselves before Jesus had arrived. And so they had come both to the conclusion that Jesus had to have been there in order to save Lazarus from dying. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have You laid Him? They said to Him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. You know, even when God knows what He is about to do to rectify a problem for us, it doesn't mean that He's insensitive to what we're going through. Verse 35 tells us that Jesus wept. He looked around and He saw the sorrow. He saw the broken hearts. He saw the grief, and it touched Him. and Jesus cried. You know, God has every one of the feelings that we have. He doesn't have the temptations that we have, but He has the feelings. He has the joy. He has the laughter, and He has the sorrow. He has the sorrow when He sees mankind suffering. Don't ever think that God doesn't know what you're going through. God stepped down from His mighty throne and He became flesh. He became Jesus Christ and He lived among us. And He became one of us. Not in the sense that He had our sin nature. He was born without the sin. But He lived among us and He felt the same pain, the same joys, the same troubles that we as mankind suffer, even today. Jesus is very aware of everything that's going on in your life, and He will come to you, just like He's coming to Mary and Martha right now. I don't know what God will do for your particular situation, but I do know this. You have to come to Him like Mary and Martha did, even if it's with a little bit of faith, even if it's with the wrong conclusion. As long as you tell Him about it, Jesus will first set you straight, and then He will fix your problem. Jesus will always be there. Verse 36, then said the Jews, behold how He loved Him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in Himself, comes to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay on it. Jesus said, take you away the stone. Martha, the sister of Him that was dead, said to Him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, said I not to you that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God? Now Martha's faith is slipping here a little bit because Jesus had to remind her of what He just told her. She can't understand why Jesus wants the stone to be rolled away. After all, being dead for 4 days does not make a person smell like they've been in a perfume parlor. So Jesus reminds her that you have to believe to receive. Now, I'm not one of the people that will preach to you that whatever you believe is going to come true. Because there's lots of things that I believed in the past and none of them came true. But I will tell you this. If Jesus tells you something, then you will receive it when you believe it. If you've been told by God, if you know that God has made a promise to you, and only you know what God says to you in your heart, but if you know that God told you something, the moment you start believing it will be the moment you will start receiving it. And so Jesus is again reminding her, believe to receive. Verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank You that You have heard Me, and I knew that You hear Me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that You have sent Me. That's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Now, I have a lot of favorite verses, but this is right up in the top 10. Because Jesus says that God hears Him. Do you know that when you are a child of God, through the grace of Jesus Christ, that God hears every one of your prayers? It doesn't mean that He's going to answer every one of your prayers the way that you want Him to, but it means that His ears are open to you. God no longer turns a deaf ear because you're a sinner in His sight. No, you have God's attention every time you speak to Him. Because you have Jesus in your heart. No prayer goes unheard by God from Christians. Verse 43, and when He thus had spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. The part I like about this section is that Jesus actually said, Lazarus. I honestly believe that with the power behind him, Had Jesus not spoken the particular name of the person that he wanted to come out of the grave, well, there's no telling how many dead people would have risen that day. So Jesus probably narrowed it down to Lazarus. And notice how even though he was bound hand and foot, because you know in those days they wrapped you up in grave cloth, he still came out. You know, when God commands something, when God resurrects something, there's no stopping it. Even being bound hand and foot, this man came hobbling out of this grave. Verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man does many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. Now understand that the Pharisees didn't even care that Jesus had risen a dead man. Now I don't know about you, but personally, I would have wanted to have met this man. This is a great miracle. Yet the only thing that the Pharisees can think of is saving their own hides. They believe that Jesus is going to create a rebellion and that the people are going to rise up against the Romans and all kinds of troubles are going to start and the Romans are going to crush this rebellion. And of course, they're going to blame the Pharisees for it and they're going to be crushed along with the rebellion. And they're going to lose all their power, all their influence, and they're going to lose all of their control. And that's all that they're thinking about. Instead of realizing that their Messiah has come. Verse 49, and one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spoke he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. So Caiaphas, not even realizing what he's doing, he's actually prophesying that Jesus is going to die for the Jewish nation. Not only that, but for the whole world. Of course, now, he's thinking in his own mind that Jesus needs to go in order to save his nation. But not in a sense that Jesus is dying for anybody's sins. No, he's thinking if we get rid of this guy, the nation will be saved. So basically, the plan is this. Kill the problem. Sometimes we can say things that we intend for evil, yet we are actually speaking a truth. In this case, Caiaphas was speaking a truth. Jesus needed to die to save the world. Yet he meant it as evil, but once again, God steps in and he used it for good. The death of Jesus was the best thing that ever happened to our world. Something so bad and tragic is such a joy for us Christians. Are you celebrating the fact that God gave his only son for you? If you ever run out of things to praise God for, you'll never run out of the praise for his son. If God never does a thing for you ever again, he's already done more than anyone deserves. And that was sacrifice his only son, Jesus Christ, for our sins on the cross. Verse 53, then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went into the country near the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was near at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spoke among themselves, as they stood in the temple, what think you, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he was, he should show it, and they might take him. So raising Lazarus was the last straw for the Pharisees. They could stand no more of these miracles. Raising Lazarus from the dead was it. And so now they basically put a hit out on him. Anybody that knows anything about this guy, you better come forth, you better tell us, because we're going to get him. But yet, nobody wanted to speak of him, probably for two reasons, maybe three. My theories are this. One, Jesus had a knack for hiding himself from the people who were after him. Two, a lot of people loved Jesus at this time, and they weren't going to give him up no matter what. Three, some of the people who probably knew where he was, yet wasn't too sure about him, still didn't want to mention anything about where he was, perhaps because they thought they might be implicated as a part of his posse, his disciples, whatever you want to call it. The main point is that it wasn't yet Jesus' time, even though he was being hunted down by these Pharisees. That's the beauty of God. When you think that the odds are stacked against you, but you have God, then really there is nothing stacked against you, because nothing is going to befall you while you are administering the ministry that God has given you. I believe that every believer in Christ has a mission within them that God wants to fulfill through them. Have you asked God what your mission in life is? What is it, God, that you have planned for me? Have you asked him that?
This is Misha again. James will be back with a final word in just a moment. I just want to remind you again of how much James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. Again, that address is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. For any donation amount that you send, we will send you a free copy of the DVD, Praise and Promises. Donate online at www.awordfromgod.net or send your donations to James Lindley Ministries. Attention donations, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God. Now back to James.
Thank you, Misha. And before we go, I want to mention that online at the website, you can order copies of A Word from God. These copies can be shared with friends, loved ones, family, and of course, for yourself. Check it out at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening, and I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.